Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Here's what I've noticed about the three-man booth. Now, I like it. When the three-man booth comes about, Jeff is so threatened.
Erroneous! Erroneous!
Jeff Lutz.
Do you know how many times I've felt threatened in my life? Every time we've done the three-man booth, minus every time that we've done the three-man booth, and you've got your answer.
So never,
never.
Nature versus nurture. Nature always wins.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
This is a sports show. I'm looking up stuff. I just wanted to jump in and be part of the conversation, boys.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
It is going to be incredible.
Wait for it. And I hope you're hungry because the second half of this word is edible. Incredible.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome. It's a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. We have the three-man booth, Jason Duda in with Bob and Jeff today. Max Power Producing Engineering, 869-1240, the phone number. It's been a while, Duda. How are you?
Not bad.
How you look the same. You haven't shaved the beard or the goatee.
No. No, I never will.
Wearing the same glasses.
Never will. Never will. I don't think so. Maybe. I shouldn't say never. You're right, Jeff, but there's a really good chance that I won't.
Always want to try to reinvent yourself, especially at your age.
Why? Why would anyone want to reinvent themselves at my age?
Well,
for a lot of reasons.
I mean, people change their look all the time, and I've done it somewhat frequently throughout my life. For instance, right now I'm letting my hair grow back. For the last 3 or 4 years. I'm going to let it grow out, see how it looks since COVID. How long is that?
Yeah, he had it.
You haven't cut your hair in 3 or 4 years.
Hey, dumbbell, how long's COVID?
Your hair doesn't look as long as having not shaved since COVID.
What's he saying?
I have no idea.
When I asked you to break down
what is he saying? He's saying that he cut his hair during COVID and he'd kept it short.
Well, it sounded like
he said. And now he's letting it grow out again.
It sounded like he said, I haven't cut my hair since COVID.
Well, that's not what I heard.
That's not what I said. That's not what he heard.
That's what I heard.
Wow.
And I think that's what a lot of rational people out there heard.
You know, for many years, I thought you were somewhat on par with me.
Why would you start doing something during COVID?
See, he's interrupting
makes
me.
Makes no sense.
I shaved my head during COVID for whatever reason.
Sort of.
Pretty short.
It was like a Homer Simpson shave. There were still like random strands of hair that
survived. Now here come the insults.
Just telling the people.
So when he's beaten, it's all insults then.
It's not an insult. I'm just explaining to people so they can get a visual of what that looked like.
So now I've decided to go ahead and let my hair grow back and see what I think.
Well,
all the way back. It's not there yet.
You're going with an old school League 42 hat today.
I am. I got a lot of hats.
Can I see the hair so far? Not bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same head of hair. It's just...
Well, when you shave it for a while, sometimes it doesn't grow back as thick or in the right spots or the hairline
I've never heard that before.
Or the hairline... Well, you haven't? Duda, please.
I have heard that, so I have to agree with Jeff on
could
this.
It be a wives' tale?
It could be, and it's probably not for everybody, but some people it's probably happened, so in that regard, yes.
All I said was I'm letting my hair grow back.
Yes.
As a way of
you should wait, changing. You should let it grow for 4 years.
Can we go back to the two-man with you?
I can go.
No.
You guys want.
With you. You haven't irritated me yet today.
I can go watch some Olympics. I'll be just
fine. Now you're starting to irritate me.
They're still young.
Yeah.
Of course we love watching the Olympics.
What were you watching? Don't give anything away.
Yeah, don't give anything away because...
The 200 meter, I wanted to see...
We watch the evening. We record the evening, and then we go and watch the highlights.
I wanted to watch the 200, so...
Well, everybody wants to watch the 200.
So I watched
200.
Got out of here.
They did the final. It's over.
Yeah.
Well, we'll catch up with it later.
And
but you don't want to spoil it.
The guy
it for anybody.
Who I thought would win one.
You don't want to spoil it for anybody.
I'm not. I just said
yeah,
the guy.
Yeah, you just did. The only guy anybody knows in that race is Noah Lyles.
Really? Do you not watch? Do you not pay attention? Or just in the final? And so you're under that.
Okay,
assumption?
Then name another guy in the race.
Just Bedarek. There's the other American. Bedarek. Or
made that up.
Are you serious?
A little.
Or
Ogando.
Ogando.
He was your leader after the semifinals for time. He'll be in lane four.
What about
I was watching
Phillips.
The hurdles yesterday? Did they finish the hurdles?
Tobogo.
Now you are.
You want to keep
a country.
Going?
Now you are making.
And it's not even a country.
No,
it's
he's
Trinidad.
From Botswana.
Where's Botswana?
It's way over there.
Oh, my goodness. I hate this show with all of my might.
Yeah. Well,
why? You know why?
No.
Because you opened it questioning me.
I didn't question you. I misheard.
All I wanted to say was, Jason, you haven't changed anything. Everything's fine. Whatever. But then he said, I'll never shave. And my point being, sometimes I've found throughout my life, I like a new look occasionally.
Sure, absolutely. Why not? At your age, that makes sense.
With facial hair. I used to have really long hair. I don't have really long hair anymore.
Well, that was a long time ago.
Well, a long time ago.
It wasn't really long.
It went to my early, to around 30.
Okay. I'm going to have to go look at some of the pictures.
Why? Why don't you just take it?
Because really long? I mean, that's quite a statement. From a guy who, you know, pretty much had the same haircut your whole life. At least your whole adult life. At least the whole part of your life that I've been a part
right.
of.
Right. And that was how, when?
40 years.
You didn't know anything that was going on.
I knew some stuff.
The first 5 years of your life.
Oh, I sure did.
Did you ever have really long hair, Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff never did.
Yeah, I had the growing up.
He was
up.
Incapable of it.
I went with the slick back look. Oh, that was my best look, I think.
Oh, we had. I mean, I grew up in the mullet time, man.
And then slick back
everywhere.
And pushed a little forward in the front.
Jeff didn't have hair till he was about 9.
That's
and
not
then,
true. I started
and then
losing
his hair.
Hair
started to go away when he was 12.
That quick?
Fairly
that
accurate.
That quick.
A three-year run of hair.
Did the best I could with it.
And slicked her back when you had a chance.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's fantastic.
Home over action.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know that came from my side.
It came
side
from
of
me
thing.
Wearing hats. That's where it came from.
That's not true.
I don't
true.
Think it's in my genetics. Yes,
I
it is
I wore a
true.
Hat just about every day of my life.
And your hair is as thin as anybody's.
Yeah, but I'm also 50.
You have.
You haven't had any hair for how
you
long?
You have two uncles on your mother's side who have thin hair. My
Ralph
mother's
had nice hair.
My mother's side of the family had some premature hair loss.
You get it
we'll
from
put
your
it
mother's
way.
Father. And my mother's father has an impeccable head of hair, even to this day.
I don't know that you get it from your mother's
I'm
father.
Telling, I don't care what you know. I'm telling you.
Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Of course you haven't. You guys don't learn anything. You guys don't actually know stuff. I mean, stuff that isn't.
Why insult Jason?
Oh, I'm not
I was insulting
by
both
anything
of you.
He says.
Because you know you consider the source.
Well, that's pretty obvious. It's very simple.
This is what I said in the intro to the show. When it's a three-man booth, this guy over here is so threatened that he lashes out. It doesn't even require anything to lash out about.
I don't know why.
Just I get irritated.
About with
I don't like... I don't like the extremes, Mr. Crazy over here and Mr. Nothing over here. Just nothing going on
and
either
you're
way.
Just, you figure you're just in the middle?
Exactly.
That's funny.
Well, find somebody who can do a show with you that you will enjoy. Go to Tony, pitch the idea.
No, I'll
Tony
continue.
Slam a door in your face and move on.
I'll continue to do this show, but I need you all to understand that it's not just going to be whatever you think it's going to be. It's not going to be that.
What?
It would be. I would love to see the reaction
of what
you pitched the show to Tony Ducey.
Tony pitched the show to me back in the day.
Whoa!
Hey, brother. We really need you on our air, brother.
No, he took you off the air with that Jeff and Jamin show.
No, he didn't take me off the air. He took Jamin off the air.
Oh, so just
well, now you're throwing Jamin under the bus.
Yeah, I will.
Completely under the bus.
I will throw Jamin under the bus.
So Jamin was the reason that show was discontinued.
Yes, that's correct.
Really?
What was...
Jamin did not want to be paid, apparently, or he never filled out his timesheet. And Tony got to the point where, well, we have to pay you, but if you're not filling out your timesheet, then people get upset at the corporate, and we just got to stop the show. That's what happened.
That's one version of what
that happened. That is the version.
Anyway, we missed that show. You remember it well.
Yeah.
Did you ever appear on the Jeff and
no,
Jamin
No, I was never asked. Never invited, never asked for an interview or nothing on the
well,
Jeff
and Jamin
show.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Would you have come on?
Absolutely, I would have.
That's nice of you.
Maybe doesn't matter now.
Maybe for the revival, we'll have you on.
Well, good luck getting Jamin back after that.
Yeah, maybe it'll like be just saying with Jeff and Jason.
Threw your buddy just right underneath. Like,
well, I'll tell you more.
This is a semi-truck. It wasn't
even
bus.
More. Every time I ask Jamin.
I don't know if you should.
Every time I ask Jamin to be on this show when Bob's out. No, can't.
Well, if
well he has
working.
A job.
I have a job.
You get off your job. It works for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for him.
One day a quarter?
Doesn't matter. You don't just, you can't just tell your boy, yeah, I'm taking this day off. The third Thursday of every month is going to be,
man,
I'm not going to be here.
I bet you could.
In this wow. day and age, there's probably a little more leniency, but perhaps he doesn't enjoy doing the show.
That could be.
Could be it as well.
Who knows?
It is a different vibe on this show.
I think he really liked doing the show with me.
He did? He's never said
sure.
that. That's weird.
But I'm not sure that he wasn't burned out on doing the show with you.
Really? Once a week? For no money? I mean,
yeah, what game you want to play today, Jamin? Well, let's do that one we've done 400 times.
I mean, no, we always brought new games, and we bring new games here to this show.
You have a game today?
Every week.
No, it's Thursday. On Fridays, I'll bring
it's
one.
It's your game day.
Here's
probably
what we have on the
have
show
to bring
today.
Password back.
Yeah, I sure
love
hope so.
Password. At 2:45 today, WWE superstar Drew McIntyre will be on the show. The Scottish Warrior.
Is that what he's called?
Yes.
Oh.
Or the Scottish Psychopath sometimes.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's scary.
Yeah, we look forward to visiting.
He is a scary man.
With Drew McIntyre coming up at 2:45. At 3:25, Michelle Gardner, reporter from the Arizona Republic down in Phoenix. She covers Arizona State Athletics. She'll join us for our Big 12 preview. That sounds so weird to say, on the Sun Devils.
Yeah, that's just...
We're previewing Arizona State football, ladies and gentlemen.
We got to do it.
On a show in Wichita, Kansas.
Doesn't make any sense, but it is what it is.
That's where we are in college athletics now.
Very
And
confusing.
I
got to
tell you, I'm intrigued by all these different matchups.
I don't know. I like
know if
couple
I'm
years.
Intrigued for the long term, but I'm intrigued for this year.
I don't know.
Are like you really intrigued rivalries. By Arizona State, Cincinnati? I don't know if that's a game on the schedule, but you're only intrigued when it's KU or K-State playing one of these teams. You're not necessarily intrigued to see BYU-Houston. Because that's not really that good of a game in any conference on any schedule.
Well, look at it this way. Are you going to stay up to watch a game in Arizona State if, like you said, if BYU's at Arizona State?
No, I'm not.
I'm not even going to know it's on.
Exactly.
I won't know it's on.
And it's going to be too hard to find because how are networks broadcasting all these games with 16 teams? That's 8 games every weekend for the Big 12.
They'll be all
for the Big 10, more for the SEC.
Stream.
So here is week 4, Saturday, September 21. Here are some of the games. Okay? Because this is going to take some getting used to.
All right.
By now, we're mostly in conference play. We've not all the way, but mostly. UCLA at LSU. That's not a conference.
Not a conference game. No. That's Big Ten SEC.
Tennessee at Oklahoma. That's bizarre.
That's a little strange.
That's a little bizarre. Let's go to the next week, because that's when we're fully in.
I'm saying UCLA Big Ten doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense.
I don't like it.
So here we go. Arkansas, Texas A&M, that's been around. Oklahoma at Auburn, week 5. Mississippi State in Austin to play Texas. That's an SEC ball game. We've got Wisconsin in L.A. to play the Trojans. Wisconsin, USC.
Strange.
Isn't that something? Let me find another couple, and then we'll move on here.
Yeah, find another one or two.
I'll find what I want.
And then we'll move on.
We're desperate to move on. Here's the thing about this show.
What?
Here it is. You want to hear it?
No.
I want to hear it.
Thank you.
I want to hear it.
Every day when they promote this show, it's the Bob and Jeff Show.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Very threatened.
I don't care if you're threatened.
No, you're threatened.
That's all I wanted to say.
Give us some games.
I'm looking for some.
Northwestern playing Stanford.
That's really the extent of the weirdness on that week. Okay, let's go to week 6.
Oh, why wouldn't we?
I mean, this is fun.
I'm having
the time of my life.
He's absolutely off the wall matchups.
Michigan State at Oregon. That's amazing to me.
Sure is.
Isn't that something?
It is. Crazy.
What else? Michigan at Washington. That's a pretty... isn't that a rematch?
That's two blue teams playing against each other. One before is two green teams playing each other.
That's a rematch of the championship.
I hate to break
this
to you. Washington's purple.
Well, it's kind of bluish.
No.
Purple, USC whatever. Visiting Minnesota.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's two maroon and yellow teams.
UCLA coming clear across the country.
There's too many. They got
playing Happy Valley.
Everybody's got
that's
the same
two blue
colors.
Teams.
It's just ridiculous the way things are working.
I think it's incredible. Kansas at Arizona State.
Oh, if you would have said Arizona, that's two red and blue teams.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. In many ways.
Listening.
What'd you say?
Nothing. It's all good.
Jeff, I'm going to tell you something.
Good.
Again.
This has been the whole first segment of the show.
I got something
you
else to
just
tell you.
Just telling me something.
I got something else to tell you.
Have at it.
I rarely listen to
I know. That's what makes it so fun.
Here's the thing.
I can say anything.
When you got a brain like mine that's working hard.
Oh, it has to.
You understand.
Oh, it's something.
The gears are moving fast.
When
they're squeaky, but they're going.
When it works like my brain works, I got very little time to... hear
what were some of those games
saying.
Again? Give us go to week 7. Oh, that's good.
This show would collapse if I wasn't on it.
I don't think so, man. I do not believe that.
How do you think a show with Jeff and you would do?
Oh, I would do fantastic.
It would be awesome.
You think so?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
What time slot would you get? 4 to 6?
Probably this 2 to 4.
You'd kick me out?
Why
isn't
would we
that
kick
how
you out?
Isn't that how it's going to happen eventually?
You didn't say anything about you. You said me and Jeff. So why are you
would
kicking
do this
yourself,
show?
At are you some kicking point, yourself out?
At some point, I will leave this show with Jeff and see what he does with it.
Maybe
that's
nothing.
That's your inheritance, Jeff.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I get.
No, it's not maybe nothing. It is nothing. You'll run from this thing as fast as you can.
It's certainly possible.
You'll deny you were ever on it.
No, I don't know if I go quite that far.
You'll live in Western Sedgwick County and start raising chickens.
That would be awesome. Now that sounds great.
I don't know why you don't have chickens out there. You got
well, because we don't like to rip their heads off like you do.
Well, then don't.
Yeah, well, you don't have
you
to.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I know.
Just be pets.
Well, then I couldn't eat chicken. And that'd be a tough.
Why couldn't you eat chicken?
Why? What would that change about it?
I would love chickens. My chickens so much.
You don't
much.
Love chickens already?
No, I don't have any. So.
So you don't love them?
I don't have a personal bond with any chickens.
Well, then don't worry about eating that chicken.
But of course, I love chickens. And I love cows, and I love pigs, and I love turkeys.
Well, why do you eat all the meat that comes from?
I don't know.
Whoa.
It's a tough life, that's why.
I don't understand
that. I feel like part of it's nature. Part of it is just because it tastes good. Everyone understands that. But it's a tough life.
For who?
Me.
Chickens? And the cows?
It's a dynamic. You got it. Yeah, I understand. Life's tough. This life is tough.
It's not easy.
So what are you going to do? You're going to try to make it through the best you can, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're all trying to do.
At some point, you're going to have to make a decision in your life that goes against what you think your morals are.
Here's where I want Mike Furches. There's so many. I should do a podcast with Mike Furches.
You should.
It would be unbelievable. Because I wouldn't hold anything back, nor would he.
Well, go.
I'm going to ask Tony about it.
Okay.
Hold back on what?
Just talking about everything. The things you can't talk about on this show.
Why don't you do that with me?
You're not interesting.
Okay.
Jeez.
I mean, you're interesting, but that's not what anybody tunes into this show.
Right. We do a podcast. It would be a different.
No.
I can talk about anything.
Too many volatile subjects.
And no offense to Mike, but I think
Mike has an opposite point of view on some of the things I think. And that's.
Well, so do I.
No, you don't. You're right down the line. I hear it all the time. Bob, Jeff's.
We fight so over. Much like we fought you. Over stuff on this show before.
It's true.
On sort of social issues.
Bob, Jeff, so much. What'd you do? Clone him? I get that all the time.
I don't anymore. Thank God.
Clone him?
Yeah.
Not quite.
All right.
Would you be proud if I was viewed upon as your exact equal? I know you don't consider me an equal in any way, but would you? Would you appreciate that?
Oh my gosh. What is wrong with you? I mean, look into it.
I will.
Max
I have
is
been.
Playing the music. That's how uncomfortable Max is. He's never done that.
That's Max will great. Be fine.
Max, we'll play the music when we're time for a break. You are listening to Bob and Jeff with Jason Duda, who we're going to highlight in the next segment.
We are?
We are.
Stay with us.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to the hotline sponsored by IHOP. They have all-you-can-eat pancakes at IHOP. Here's KU Pat. It must be approaching football season. Pat, hello.
Hi, guys. 3 weeks from tonight, I'll be heading up to Kansas City for KU's first game. Before I get to Duda, Bob, I have a guest suggestion. You've had him on before, and Mark Mangino, I mean, I thought he was so great when you had him on during football season. I saw him on a video about a week ago, and my goodness, I bet he's lost over 100 pounds. He looked as healthy as I've ever seen him, and so I don't know if that can be done, but boy, I always enjoyed listening to him.
Well, I reached out to Mark recently to come on about going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. Did not hear back, which is unusual. But when he was on, we had to pay him and kind of came out of my pocket. Anyway, it was fun. Oh. Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. Duda, I want to ask you, I've been waiting for you to be back on the show. Have you learned your lesson after 4 painful years about KU?
No.
Has Duda ever learned a lesson in his life?
I don't take to lessons very well, so it'll be very difficult for me to continue that. But we will see what happens when the season starts, KU Pat. We'll see. We'll see.
You do know they're pre-ranked number 24, and if you want to continue to finish near the bottom, continue your ways. I want to see you win this thing.
You can't win this thing because you get pencil whipped anyway, KU Pat. It's impossible.
Here's what I predict for KU, at least at the outset. They play Lindenwood, Lindenwood will be lucky to field a team. I can't imagine
72
that
points.
Will be close. Then they play at Illinois, which could be a test, will be a test. You go on the road to play in the Big Ten. That's a test. Then they have UNLV, and UNLV is usually a representative team. They have West Virginia on the road. That's a difficult game because it's on the road at West Virginia. Then they have TCU at Arizona State and Houston. I predict they're unbeaten when they face Kansas State coming up on October 26th. And it would not shock me if Kansas State is also undefeated. Thoughts on that, Pat?
Yeah, you may be a little overly optimistic. The game at West Virginia is, they're going to be much better.
Those are the kind of games you got to win if you want to be serious.
No, I agree.
Don't start backing off on us.
No, of course I won't. And when you have 30 seniors, this is the year to get it done. But of course, the whole thing depends on the health of Jalen Daniels. And I mean, you know, he's never been able to play a whole season without getting hurt. But skill-wise, players in the Big 12, I don't think there's a team better offensively. But we will see. I'm excited. If you would have told me in year four, KU would be this far down the road with Leipold, I would have said you were crazy. But he's amazing. And, Jeff, I don't want to leave you out. I mean this sincerely. I hope your Guardians hold on. I really do. I'm not.
Man, me too.
Fantastic. I hope they do. Because I'm not a Royals fan, and they've already got the Chiefs, who I don't like. So I don't think I could stomach the Royals winning that division. So I hope you guys hold on, man.
Thank you. It's going to be tough. We got Minnesota this weekend, so we'll know a lot more.
That's enough. Thank you,
Monday.
Pat.
We appreciate
Pat, stick
it.
Around. Let's talk more Guardians.
Thank you, Pat. Couldn't care less. The Guardians are in a little bit of a free fall. I watched a lot of the second game of their doubleheader yesterday against the Diamondbacks. Nobody there. I don't know.
Their attendance has been fine. That was a traditional doubleheader that started at noon, and the second game.
Not the game you go to if you're in Cleveland.
No, hey, because go. People in Cleveland have
I'm
to work.
I'm talking to dude. I said I was going to highlight him.
It's a working class town.
I don't want to be highlighted.
Let's go to the game today. They got a doubleheader. We're in first place. Arizona's coming to town. It's a nice day. Let's go to the ballpark. Right,
12 sellouts.
Which game would I go to? Is that what you're asking
me? Yeah, yesterday's game. Wouldn't you go?
I'd go to the early one.
You wouldn't say
they played at noon and 3:30 or something, right?
Yeah, it's like a doubleheader. Wouldn't you go?
It not only is like a doubleheader, it is
a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Why'd I ask you this?
Guardians
question?
Lost both. Twins lost. Royals won. 3.5 game lead in the division. Starting a series tomorrow. Did Minnesota play today, or do they?
No, they do not.
No, I don't think so.
Neither do the Royals.
Royals don't play today either. And you're stuck with what you got here.
But the Tigers play. Are you worried about the Tigers?
No, I'm not.
All right, then don't worry about it. They're in Seattle.
Why don't they run the? Why don't they put the attendance in the ESPN box score? They list the umpires. There it is, 26,700. There weren't 26,000.
That's pretty good attendance.
But not bad.
There wasn't 26. Come on.
Well, maybe some.
You watched the game.
A lot of people.
Of course I didn't watch the game.
A lot of people aren't going to stay there for 8 hours.
Be quiet. I've decided not to highlight you.
Well, that's good.
And it was tickets sold for the previous day's game because that's who was in the stadium. You had to have a ticket to the previous day's game.
Listen, I hope you hang on, but that did not look a team like
the
a team
second
that's
day's game. I don't know what day
that's game built to hang on.
if you know what I mean.
Well, we'll see. Does Minnesota look like? I mean, no, every team is flawed.
You used Stephen Kwan early in the game to pinch hit for David Fry, who made the All-Star team.
David Fry can't hit right-handed hitters.
You get to the ninth inning, and you're sending up Schneeman instead of having and you got a couple runners.
No, you have Lane Thomas against.
Well, but Schneeman came up early,
and he walked. He did fine. I'm not worried about Schneeman.
You used.
I'm worried about losing the platoon advantage because you feel like you have to play Lane Thomas.
You used Stephen Kwan too early. That's my point.
Well, he should have stayed in the game.
Well, something like that. But whatever.
They're overthinking the game, and I don't like it. Just get some left-handed hitters in the lineup against right-handed pitching.
Well, they better bring some people up, haven't they?
Put your right-handed hitters in against left-handers and try to win.
They're trying to win.
Instead of batting Lane Thomas second and David Fry fifth against right-handed pitching, that's a recipe for losing.
Well, I don't like it either. I spent some of my time watching that game.
The Guardians succeeded early on in the season because they had the platoon advantage in almost every at-bat, or very, very many. They led the league in having the platoon advantage. Now, we don't.
Meanwhile, Bobby Witt with another big game. Have you seen his numbers? I don't have them right accessible.
Yeah, I've seen his numbers.
His numbers in Kansas City at home.
Where they cheat.
No, now they cheat.
Did I say that?
Now they cheat.
Wow.
One of your guys got on Twitter and said that. And this is the awful thing about social media.
What guys?
Some clown, I don't know, some moron on Twitter.
That's been out on Guardians Twitter for a while.
You know what? Maybe you should cheat because.
We should.
How are they cheating?
I would welcome cheat.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I haven't heard.
They've been really good offensively at home, have the Royals.
They played not good at all on the road.
No, they've been okay on
the
road.
They're 23rd in OPS plus on the road and like in the top five at home.
Because they're built for their ballpark.
No, they're not.
Yes, of course they are. Of course they are.
They don't hit that many home runs.
That's right. That's why they're built for their ballpark.
I disagree. They hit too many home runs, is what I'm saying.
They're very good, and they're extremely good at home. And Bobby Witt is having the kind of year that will be historical. I mean, for how many years has George Brett been the standard bearer for Royals baseball? Since the 70s,
nearly
right?
50.
This guy's going to surpass him.
That's tough.
This guy's going to surpass him. He runs better. He plays a more premium position. He has at least as much power, and I think will develop into more power. There's not anything George Brett could do that Bobby Witt can't. And there are things Bobby Witt can do that George Brett couldn't.
We'll see.
We've already seen.
Okay, talent-wise, sure. But we have to have longevity. We've got to have the benchmark numbers. Some of those 3,000 hits would be nice.
This guy's headed for all that, and you know it.
No, I don't know it.
Oh, I agree. As long as he stays healthy.
Right.
I mean, he's hitting 350.
He's great.
Got 22
bombs. I'm not disputing that.
He's got 25 stolen bases. His OPS is 1,000.
And that
he's got 99 runs, 84 RBIs.
He's still developing his power. 21 home runs, that's good, but he's going to be a 35 to 40 homer guy at some point.
Well, he might have 35 this year.
Yeah, I mean.
No, he'd have to really turn it up.
13 more in like 55 games?
He'd have to really turn it up.
That's not that many. That's 2 months a game.
55, that's like hitting 39 in a season.
No, wrong. He's got 21.
He has 22.
And he'll hit about 30 this year. But he could be a 40 guy. He's better than Brett ever was. Right now, he is. Whether he stays that way, I don't know. You heard it.
Whatever.
What's the most runs batted in George Brett ever had in a year? Look it up.
I will. 118. He did 107, 112, 103.
What's the most home runs Brett ever had in a year?
30. But he went 22, 23, 24, 21, 25, 30, 22, 24. He's an underrated power hitter. And
he's a fine power hitter.
And listen, he hit George 665
George
doubles.
Brett is a great player. The greatest Royal. I'm just telling you, this guy's going to be better.
Whatever. I mean, it's...
These are the kind of players that only come along. The Cardinals haven't had one. Albert Pujols. This is their Albert Pujols.
George Brett was pretty darn good.
Yes.
90 WAR guy, 305 career hitter, hit 390 one year, led the league in batting average.
George Brett was phenomenal. That's not the point. Witt's going to surpass him.
Okay, well, he's not. I wouldn't say he's better now than Brett ever was. I don't think that's accurate.
This season he's having, Bobby Witt Jr., what was Brett's highest OPS?
1118.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
That's the year he hit 390, I would say.
Yes, and led the league in on base and slugging.
And he walked a lot. Now, Bobby Witt.
He didn't walk that much that year.
Bobby Witt is. Bobby Witt's something else.
But he's also 9.5 WAR that year, 8.6 the year before. So, George
What's
Brett had
Witt
a
WAR.
Had a pretty high.
What's Witt's WAR?
Probably 7, I would say, or so.
And 55 games left.
Well, let me see.
Say it, dude. You said it a minute
ago. 7.5.
With 55 games left.
Well, you were talking about homers. He could hit 13 more, easy.
What was Brett's best WAR in a season?
I just told you, 9.6.
Is Witt going to pass that?
Probably.
Yep.
I'm with Jeff on this one.
Good.
Thank you.
You guys can go, you know what? You can go outside and walk up and down my street holding hands.
We'll take this next segment off.
On December 9th, the Raw brand is bringing its show here to Intrust Bank Arena, WWE. Drew McIntyre will be front and center with that show. He joins us right now, Drew McIntyre. Hello, Drew. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be talking with you all about coming back. Very excited to be home for a few days because I'm never home. I'm always working. I'm very excited that I kicked CM Punk's butt last week at SummerSlam.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be the same since that ordeal. You really put it to him.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he's weak physically, weak-minded. He's just like a Charles Manson-like type. He poisoned everybody's brain to make them believe he's this phenomenal superstar. Truthfully, he's all right, but he's no Drew McIntyre.
Fair enough. So, Drew, you know, I don't remember a whole lot of times where, you know, stories in WWE were continued when one or both parties were injured, but that happened with you. It happened with Rhea Ripley. I'm just curious how much fun that was for you. You didn't get to be in the ring a lot in those 6 months or so, but you got to do a lot of character work, and how much did that help you kind of grow as a performer?
It's awesome the way we do things now. Like in the past, if a storyline was pretty hot and somebody got hurt, it would just be scrapped. We'd move on, just continue once they returned. But for Punk to be injured for 7 months now, for an arm injury, that's how slow he recuperates. See Wolverine, the Deadpool Wolverine, or like Wolverine recuperates really quickly. Punk's at the exact opposite. They could have taken 7 months to recover from an arm injury. What a loser. But I was out for about 2 months myself with a broken arm. Not because I was hurt the whole time, because they wouldn't let me back in the ring. I would have wrestled through it because, you know, I'm not a coward like Punk. But at the same time, we were able to continue this story. I was able to run my mouth the whole time. And all I kept saying was, fight me, fight me. Come on, I dare you to fight me. And he would show up as a Wile E. Coyote in the Roadrunner. He'd pretend he wanted to fight me. He'd run away and drive off in his car. And finally, at SummerSlam, the match became official. He had to get in the ring with me. And I crushed him. It was great. And now he claims he wants to fight me again. And that's just fine, because I intend to take him out, not just of WWE, but of this planet, if he keeps messing with me. I can't stand CM Punk. I've not liked him since I was 22 years old. He made my life difficult. My first run with WWE directly affected a lot of my opportunities in WWE when I was younger. I've never liked the guy. For him to come back to the company after sitting in his arse for 9 years thinking he's going to jump ahead of all of our superstars who have worked their butts off to get in their positions, including me, and leapfrog us just because he's living off of his name from the past. He can think again. At Royal Rumble, I barely messed with him. I went in to hurt him. Not that bad. I tore his tricep. And at SummerSlam, I messed him up, but he didn't get hurt. So if he wants to fight again, I will happily break his stupid jaw so he can't run that stupid mouth anymore and start peeling off every muscle of his body. And I'll do it with a smile on my face because he deserves it. He's a terrible, terrible human being.
Drew McIntyre, our guest, the Scottish Warrior. My son keeps chuckling as you talk about CM Punk. I'm petrified. So we're 4 months away from your appearance here in Wichita with Raw. What do you imagine? Whose butt will you be kicking that night? Could it be CM Punk potentially still?
If he makes it that long, yeah. I mean, he made it very clear that as long as he's in WWE, I'll never be world champion. He's cost me multiple matches, including WrestleMania, won the world title. He directly caused me to lose the world title the same night. We had a big show in Scotland where I'm from. It's the first time it's happened, a show of that magnitude. God knows when it's going to happen again. I was in the main event. I had the match won. He directly cost me the world title there. And he is not going to stop and allow me to be world champion as long as he's around. And I know that I'm not going to be able to go forward until he's out of WWE. And I made it clear to him I won't stop until his heart does. But I think more likely I'll just keep pushing him and pushing him. He's so weak physically. He'll break physically, but he's also weak mentally. If I break him mentally enough, he'll finally quit WWE, go home again for the second time, and hopefully never come back.
So we saw
Seth. I'll beat him up in front of you, and I'll give your son a heck of a show. And I start ping-pong and punk all around. He just seems like a wet T-shirt, and he just sling it around like crazy and smack it off walls and stuff. That's what it might look like with Punk when I get to Wichita. He's still not finished off. I'm going to sling him around like a wet T-shirt.
So we saw, you know, on Monday, Seth got brutally attacked by Big Bronson Reed. Seth's involvement in your issue with CM Punk, is he getting in the way? Do you think he's a hurdle that you need to clear to continue to get to CM Punk, or do you welcome being able to conquer him as well?
I already conquered Seth. I beat him for the world title at WrestleMania. He was just sticking his nose in my business. He became the referee for myself and Punk last week. He's a spotlight junkie. Can't help force himself into where the most attention is. The most attention was on Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. He wedged himself in there because he needs that attention. He needs that spotlight on him. And thankfully, Bronson Reed came in, took him out. That's not my business. I don't know why he did it, but I'm happy he did it. It gets rid of Seth. Seth's problems with Punk are like, well, Punk said some big bad words about me on the internet. He really was nasty about me when he was gone from WWE, so I've got all this hatred for him. He's all right, mate, big bad words. He directly affected my career when I was younger. Like, I actually hurt my career, actively went out of his way to hurt my career. Not big bad words, big bad action. So he can shut up, he can bugger off with Bronson Reed and let me finish off Punk.
Talking now with Drew McIntyre, again, WWE Raw, headed for Wichita in 4 months, December the 9th, here at Intrust Bank Arena. So, by all accounts, WWE is at a high point. The creativity in the company is high. People seem that the storylines are resonating with fans. What's going on right now, and is this an ebb and flow business like all of us believe it is, or can WWE keep this momentum?
I believe we can keep the momentum and continue to grow. Like, our company and industry has always been very cyclical. You know, there's like high times and there's lower times, but it always, you know, rises back up dependent on certain superstars getting more popular at certain times. But right now, just the way creative is, the way management is, at Triple H leading the creative team, our creative team, I am understanding our characters now, but very much leaning into long-term storytelling, which we've never done before. It's always been very much car crash style storytelling in WWE and wrestling, believing that fans have such short attention spans, and they don't. We have so many TV shows all across the different mediums now, especially streaming services. People want to get more invested in the characters. They want to understand character motivation. And we're 52 weeks a year, no rerun, no off-season. We have the ability to create these deep level layered characters like any TV show, The Sopranos or whatever you watch, and these detailed, you know, storylines. and perform in front of a live crowd to really truly hook people. And if you know who your character is, like I know exactly who my character is because I am that character, you can make people truly feel in a deeper level. And in the end, that's all our industry is about, is creating that emotion, making people feel. And right now, there's so many characters making people feel. There's so many storylines that are hot right now. And Roman Reigns just returned right now. We got a few other characters and superstars that are about to return. As hot as we are, we're selling out in advance every single week. The business deals the companies do are constantly billion-dollar deals. And I know we're just going to keep going from strength to strength.
So you've alluded several times in this interview, on television, in past interviews, that CM Punk early in your career went out of his way to harm you professionally. Can you shed more light on that? And are you surprised that here we are, 10 years later, and he has not attempted to make amends yet?
I don't go into details right now. Maybe I will on the television show eventually. But let's just say the way our industry works is that if you get in the right person's ear, you can directly hurt someone's opportunity. And that's exactly, what he did to me multiple times. Maybe I'll talk more about it. If he keeps coming after me, maybe I'll go into the details more so fans can understand my side. I don't want fans just to cheer for me just because. I want them to understand and look at the evidence and understand that I'm right. Like, this is a person who is genuinely a bad person. If you look back at his history, just search the internet, like some character profiles of the guy, some testimony from different people over the years, and look at my character online, all the different testimonies about me, my degrees in criminology, and in the criminal justice system, all you have to do in court is prove beyond reasonable doubt somebody's guilty. I've laid out so much evidence over the past 7 months. It's not just a case of Punk is guilty beyond reasonable doubt. He deserves the chair, and people still cheering him. Like, it's insane to me that people aren't opening their eyes at this point. Maybe I'll get more information, but at this point, I think he's just such a, I say, Charles Manson type. He's poisoned people's minds so much, no matter what I say. They just won't, understand. I literally have to take him out for the good of everybody because their brains are poisoned.
Well, we are very appreciative of you taking some time with us today to talk about your feud with CM Punk and other matters related to World Wrestling Entertainment. Drew McIntyre will be part of the crew here at Intrust Bank Arena December 9th, Monday Night Raw. Drew, so happy to have you on. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate you all, and can't wait to get to Wichita again and kick some arse. Probably Punk.
And we're going to stay on your good. We're going to stay on your good side. Thank you, Drew.
Well, this doesn't mean a good move. Just wait till I get in the bad move.
Thank you again, Drew.
Cheers, guys.
All right, Drew McIntyre, who wants another piece of CM Punk. There's just no doubt about it. He has an insatiable desire.
Probably
to
forever.
Kick that guy's arse.
Do you think it's real?
Well, you really never know. You never know. He makes it sound real. That's what matters.
Okay.
What's your favorite movie, dudes?
My favorite movie?
Yeah.
Probably Shawshank.
Is it real?
You think it's real?
Is it real?
It is real.
All right.
Prisons are real.
Okay.
There are prisons everywhere, Jeff.
No, that's true.
Yep.
Time for a break on that note. We will be back with one more hour. We'll talk with Michelle Gardner of the Arizona Republic coming up at 3:25. She'll break down the Arizona State Sun Devils as we continue Big 12 football previews here. The Bob and Jeff Show with our friend Jason Duda back in a minute.
Sports Radio.
Radio you can touch.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I'm certainly not going to sit here and be subjected to the assertion that our good friend Jason Duda is a legend.
I hear you loud and clear.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm not with you. Jason Duda, Thunder hockey legend. I love it. For today, anyway.
That would be terrific. That would be great, huh?
Terrific. That was terrific.
And Jason Duda, for today, anyway.
That is true. Curtis,
I like it.
Woohoo!
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
And it's going to be legendary.
Hour number two, Bob and Jeff, KFH, Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Jason Duda in today for the three-man booth. Max Power, our producer and engineer. 869-1240 is the phone number, the IHOP hotline. You cough, Misty sneezed, and Duda has
a frog in his throat.
I don't know what's going on.
Misty coughed, I sneezed.
All right, dudes.
You got mold down here or something? Is that what
it
is?
I don't know. Don't turn this on me.
Well, everyone else seems to be having a problem that's visiting, so I'm guessing. I don't know.
Well, now you got me worried about that. Now I have to tear my ceiling out.
Yep, maybe you should.
Well, it won't be long till we got a construction crew here.
Again?
For a kitchen remodel.
Oh, yeah, that hasn't started yet.
No, but it's on the horizon.
Is it? Is it for sure?
Yes. Well, it better be. Yes. Let's just say yes.
I don't know why you just didn't go buy a new house. Doesn't it cost about the same to remodel a kitchen nowadays?
You know, I don't need your input.
Well, I'm just asking because I've looked into some of that stuff, and it's ridiculous.
It's
ridiculous.
I don't know if it's ridiculous.
What are we talking about? I joined late.
Why don't you listen to remodel?
I was listening.
We're doing it. We're looking forward to it, but it's going to take a while. So the process, I'm very anxious for the process to begin and end. You know what I mean?
I do.
So I heard you had some correspondence with my wife yesterday.
Uh-oh. Yep. This should be interesting.
Well, what are you worried about?
Wow. I'm worried about it. Why didn't you tell me? Her, we're going to dinner. Where are we going to dinner? When are we going to dinner?
Well, this weekend. We want to see Erin before she gets to Manhattan next week and have a little sayonara dinner. And that's what it's about.
We should probably go to Kobe's for that.
Well, I'm not paying for all of you.
I'll pay for errands. We'll discuss it.
Why wouldn't you pay for everybody if you're going to take them out and stuff? You should pay for everybody.
I didn't say I was going to take them out.
If you wanted to go see her and you say, let's all go out to dinner, then you should probably...
let's all go to dinner.
You should probably take care of it.
We should go to dinner.
Is there a difference?
What are you saying?
I didn't say, hey, I'd like to take you to dinner.
Well, okay, that's fair. I'll let that go.
I'll for sure take Erin to dinner. I pay for her dinner every time we're together. But I'm not paying for these people.
These people.
Well, whatever you want to do. I guess we'll have Erin decide where she wants
to go. That's right.
That'd probably be the best strategy.
That's what I would think.
It's her dinner.
Only makes sense. That's how I see it. And if I see it that way, heaven forbid we know it's true.
We look forward to it.
Making some contributions to League 42, perhaps. I look forward to it.
Last night, we ordered takeout from Riverside Cafe.
Really?
Because it's close. And it turned out to be really good.
What'd you order?
My wife got the meatloaf, which she loved. You know, we're big meatloaf people.
Meatloaf is good. Meatloaf's good.
And I got the hamburger steak, which was very good.
I'm not sure about... and maybe
hamburger
River
steak. I love hamburger
that
steak.
That was very good.
If you get a good one, it's
Duda,
fantastic.
Are there things that you shouldn't order from a restaurant as opposed to making them at home, and is meatloaf one of them?
No.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything that you shouldn't order. If you go out to eat, you order what you want. Whatever you feel like. And if you're looking, I'm asking Duda. And if you want to go out and order something and you're worried about the price, and so you order something that's cheaper, then you shouldn't be going out to eat that day.
Right.
It's that simple. When I go out or if I invite people out, you order what you want.
You want to take us out to dinner?
Not today. Let me
just say this. And you'll understand.
I will.
I don't worry about the price.
Not if you know
what I mean.
Yeah, you're remodeling your kitchen.
Do you understand that?
You're remodeling your kitchen. You don't got to worry about it.
I don't understand.
I hope that's not vague.
Oh, it's vague. It's vague.
Let me say it again.
Yeah, do it. So just so everyone caught it the first time.
So Jeff acted like, well, how can you go to dinner? Why don't you make your meatloaf? Well, here's why. I got a lot of money.
For meatloaf at a cafe.
Exactly.
I mean, that's good.
That doesn't cause me to bat an eye.
No.
That's where you're going to spend your money on? More power to you.
$12.99 for meatloaf? Bring it.
If you're
it's going to cost at least that much to make meatloaf at home.
That's the thing nowadays. It costs almost more to do that.
Plus, you know what?
I like making tacos at home, and it costs more for me to go buy all the stuff to make tacos.
And there's so many good tacos out there.
They're everywhere that are really good.
Why would you make them at home anymore?
That's exactly it.
And here's the thing about the meatloaf that comes with the $12.99. You get your potato, your vegetables, your salad, your roll, your gravy. I mean, what are you saying? You're going to make meatloaf at home?
Yeah, I think homemade meatloaf is the way to go. But as Duda said, Duda kind of settled the argument for us. If it's on the menu and it's what you feel like eating, order it. That's great.
Here's what I did yesterday. I'll reiterate.
Can't wait.
I called them and said, here's what we want. We want this to-go order, meatloaf on one, hamburger steak on the other. We'll have it ready for you in 15 minutes.
You didn't.
I go, it's bagged up. I bring it home. I put it on the plate. We have dinner.
What do you mean?
Are you kidding me? I'm gonna mess up my
what
kitchen.
What do you mean meatloaf on one, hamburger steak on the other?
Two orders.
Why are there two orders, Duda?
Because one Debbie for my wife, one for me, you moron.
You didn't order them together and...
What? What do you mean?
He didn't pay for his wife's dinner, is what it sounds like to me.
What's wrong with your interpretation of things?
Two orders sounds like two
meals.
You ordered two meals.
That's one order.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jeff. Come on, I'm trying to stick up for you today a little bit.
If I go to Chipotle and order for three people, I'm not picking up three bags. I'm picking up one bag with three.
I made an order.
Did you pay for
two meals?
Did you pay for Debbie's hamburger steak?
Let me reiterate.
Oh my
one more
God,
time.
He didn't. Oh my God.
First of all, she had the meatloaf, and of course I paid. I got a lot of money.
It took you a long time to answer that question.
Where's he going with this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying you're cheap, but.
So I said to Debbie, I went and got my meal. You'll need to drive over.
I got yours too. Yeah. Venmo me. That's probably how it went.
I'm not like you, Jeff. I'm not cheap. I'm not looking for any way to cut corners.
I can't. So it doesn't. I'm in a joint household.
Yeah, but obviously you can. How many concerts do you go to?
No, I'm saying I can't cut corners. There's no corners to cut because somewhere out there elsewhere, someone is not cutting corners, and that affects the bottom line as well.
Let me just say, I can afford places like the Riverside Cafe.
That's awesome.
And we had a wonderful, wonderful time, wonderful meal.
Speaking of the Eagles, I kind of continued a little bit of a conversation with Jim Ed Norman over text.
Good. Did he ever stop?
You're gonna insult Jim Ed freaking Norman.
I don't know
who
it is.
He's collaborated with Don Henley.
He went on tour with the Eagles.
That's called a collaboration.
Yeah, I would have.
And what was your
in a band with Don Henley?
I asked him a question yesterday, and
here's what he asked.
2 hours later,
tell me about meeting Don Henley, getting in the band with Don Henley, going to school with Don Henley, meeting Kenny Rogers. He asked him the 19-part question.
Okay, what was your text exchange?
Well,
like?
He said maybe if we end up in Las Vegas together, he goes to some shows that I'm at that he's looking forward to meeting me. It's good stuff.
What a fanboy.
I asked him.
Wow.
Jim Ed, I know you're 75, but I'd like to hang out with you in Vegas.
I would. I would love to hang out with Jim Ed Norman. I believe he's 77.
That's so pathetic.
Fantastic.
Listen, that is so fantastic.
The guy's had a great run in music, but the last thing he wants.
Well, he didn't. He said it, not me.
But was he trying to get you off the line?
That's what I was thinking.
No, absolutely not.
He was probably being like, okay, I'm done with this. We got to end this now. This is what I'm going to say because I'm never really going to see this guy.
No, that's absolutely not it.
I think it is.
I said, are you doing anything for the Sphere shows?
You sent him the first text?
After our interview, I said, thanks for doing that. We had a lot of fun. And then I sent him, are you doing anything for the Sphere shows?
Oh, my gosh. So you're trying to really have a conversation with the poor guy.
He was.
Rather than just thank you, it was good having you on the show. Are you doing anything for the Sphere shows?
And he said, Jeff, likewise, enjoyed and we'll make sure shorter, more compact stories should we ever do it again. No Sphere Orchestra Live, stage too small. We'll likely use footage from shows over past couple years. I said, very cool. I'm interested to see how those go. I'm going in October. Eagles aren't the flashiest of bands. He said, yeah, flashy isn't a word that comes to mind when you think Eagles. I'm going out to see a show at some point, just not sure when. If it ends up that we're there at the same time, I look forward to meeting.
And that was it.
Well, I replied.
You didn't carry on.
I replied to that.
What was the reply to that? This will scare the bejesus out of you.
I said, yes, that would be great. I'm going to the October 18th and 19th shows so far. I would assume they'll continue to add more shows, but we'll see.
And read the rest.
That was it.
Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be?
Well, I'll find that out later.
What hotel are you staying?
Yeah, I'll find all that out later.
What date are you going? I'll change my tickets.
Yeah, I probably would.
I know you would. I know you would. That wasn't a joke.
Me and Jim Ed. That'd be awesome. He probably, I mean, are you serious? Why wouldn't I want to pick that guy's brain? You kidding me?
It's really when you get a little distance between this and you recognize that, yeah, that's still your son over there.
Yeah.
And you've been through thick and thin with him.
Yeah.
And you raised him and you love him and get to the point. You do the best you can with him.
Yeah.
And then they end up humiliating you
over and over again.
I think you'll be okay.
I mean, you didn't see me text Jim Ed Norma.
I did.
The Sphere's pretty small stage. Maybe you and I could go up after they're done playing and
you think we could? That'd be amazing.
Steal a drumstick. I mean, come on, man.
I bet I could get some kind of in if Jim Ed's there. We probably could go backstage. This is all happening, okay? All of this is happening.
In his world,
you and Jim Ed are
going to
be backstage.
Absolutely. And he's going to introduce me to Don Henley. And I'm going to say, hey, Don, thanks. We've actually met, but it's nice to see you again.
This is humiliating.
Yeah, we've actually met. I can't believe you don't remember me.
This is just.
I wouldn't say that. But
yeah, you would.
No, I would never insult Don Henley.
That's what you'd be thinking.
Maybe.
Yeah, you would.
What if he said, where have we met? Well, I came to some fanboy thing you had.
Yeah, I paid a lot of money.
You spent 2 minutes with me and didn't look at me. But it was fun. I had a great time meeting you.
Can I do it again?
I'm doing it now.
Can I give you 20 grand to go have a beer with me right now?
Oh, my God.
Can I borrow 20 grand, either of you?
Would
you have
you
a lot of money.
Drink a beer with Don Henley.
Oh, absolutely.
I was going to say, what if Jim Ed wants to say, no, we're going to go have a few beers.
Absolutely.
And you need to drink all night with
100%.
You'd go belly up to the bar and
I would love to see that.
Order a bunch of craft beer and you'd just sit
there. If that's what the vibe of the night was, absolutely. I'd fit right in.
He'd order some sort of wine spritzer.
Don would be like, Jim Ed, this guy's kind of cool. Where'd you meet him again? And then
it wouldn't be that. It would be Jim Ed. Who is this freak?
How do we get out of here?
How do we get out of here? What have you done to me, Jim Ed? I'll never speak to you again.
But hey,
that'd be worth it.
In your world, as long as you think that'd be great, good for you. Happy days.
I think he does think it would be.
No, he does. I know. That's why I'm saying.
I don't think this is said for comedic value.
None of this is comedic.
No, this isn't.
Are you kidding me? I am 100% serious.
He's all in, and I know that. I'm not joking around with
this. Well, if the Eagles got wind of this, I might think, you know, Britney Spears canceled a couple concerts because of this kind of stuff.
Taylor Swift. And
whatever her name is.
That was for terrorist threats. I think that's different.
Well, this could be, couldn't you?
Well, if they cancel those concerts, maybe I'll get a refund and then buy the tickets for the show Jim Ed's at.
Hello, FBI field agent. I'm listening to a show in Wichita. This creepy guy's talking about having beers with Don Henley. I think you ought to look into it.
And they'll send it over to whoever takes care of all the stalkers that they have to deal with.
That's not nice. That's not nice. Did you know his name is actually Edward James, but he goes by Jim Ed? Isn't that crazy?
How concerned are you about a guy who has a history with Jason Eadie?
Who? I don't even know who that is.
We lived through it.
I don't remember it.
Oh, we did. Oh, we did. Having to get you off the ledge for a year and a half.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Well, we kept trying to tell you that for, a year and a half?
Thank you.
Well,
and apparently you haven't learned.
What are you talking about, Don?
Now you've turned your attention to Jim Ed Norman, of all people. Who's living a quiet, retired life.
I'm not going to turn any attention to Jim Ed Norman.
I bet you text him again.
I bet I don't.
You don't think so?
No.
Ever? Ever?
Correct. I will not initiate another conversation.
Well, there you go.
That makes me about coming on the radio.
That makes me feel a little better. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk Arizona State football. Michelle Gardner from the Arizona Republic Cubs. She covers Arizona State. They are obviously, of course, new members of the Big 12. Our Big 12 football previews continue next.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We are joined by Michelle Gardner from the Arizona Republic. She covers Arizona State Athletics. And we are right around the corner from the start of football play, the Sun Devils hosting Wyoming coming up on August 31st. Michelle, thank you. How are you?
I'm great.
So this is a team coming off a difficult year under a first-year head coach who's now a second-year head coach in Kenny Dillingham. What has he done, what has he accomplished to make Arizona State a more representative and better football team?
Well, I think one thing, when you talk about last year, I know everybody has injuries and you've got to get past them, but on paper, it looked really bad at 3-9. They really could have been 6-6. There were probably four games that they should have won. But last year, they had 31 players injured, and they missed a total of 143 games. They had 9 offensive linemen injured last year. And we're not talking guys that went down for one or two games. Guys were going down for 5, 6, 7 games. So, you know, and then they got to the tough part of their schedule at the end when they're playing Utah and Oregon, and they were just completely decimated to the point where they couldn't even have a regular practice because they didn't have enough guys to practice. So I think that there's just a positive – kind of a positive mentality around the team. They've upgraded. The only position I don't think they're better than last year might be tight end. So they've upgraded talent at every position. But Kenny's just a really positive, energetic guy, like 24/7. We always say that he never takes a second off. He is going full throttle every minute, every day, and it's a contagious energy that I think he's brought to the team. And him being young, it's 34 years old, the youngest coach in college football, Power Five program, I think he's got a dynamic that is missing sometimes because he can identify with these kids because he's basically a big kid.
Well, what's the buzz like, obviously, going now into the Big 12, coming off a rough year? It's got to feel like almost a brand new start. And like I said, what's the buzz like, or is there any buzz? And is it exciting? Is people within the program happy about it? Just give us a little rundown of what the feedback's been about coming to the Big 12.
I think they're embracing it as a fresh start, for sure. When you look at the Pac-12, you know, you had your Oregons, your Utahs, your USC. Teams that on most years are that much better than everybody else, and there seemed to be a drop-off, you know, after those first few teams. But I think that there's more balance in the Big 12. And, yes, you have a couple of very good, solid football programs. But I think there's a lot better balance. So I think they feel like they can compete. I'm not saying they're gonna win the Big 12 title or anything. I think for this team, where they're at now in the second year of a program, I think they can go 500. I don't think that is out of reach. But I think, you know, when you get a new coach and you're taking over a program that was where this program was, and you've got to remember, too, that Kenny Dillingham had sanctions on the program from the previous regime. So, you know, you almost kind of have to give him a pass in the first year because he wasn't basically playing with a full deck. He was still hampered by sanctions and the recruiting thing. So they're just getting past that this year. So I think the move to the new conference, having the sanctions, the investigation, that cloud over the program gone, having a new athletic director that's got the same kind of energy and passion that Kenny does, I think that ASU faithful are just happy to have this behind them. And yes, I think there is a little bit of a buzz, a little bit of an excitement that there hasn't been in many years because of those issues.
So they didn't quite figure out the quarterback position last year. They played a bunch of guys there, although, to be fair, there was one primary starter. They bring in Sam Leavitt, a guy who played just a little bit for Michigan State last year as a freshman. How hopeful is Dillingham and the rest of the coaching staff that he can be kind of the answer there and more of a permanent solution?
Well, it's not a foregone conclusion. It's going to be him now. The other guy vying for it is Jeff Sims, the transfer from Nebraska. Jeff Sims had a phenomenal practice a couple of days ago, hit some deep balls that just were perfectly thrown spirals to, you know, he's really come on. I wouldn't have thought he had a chance because he also wasn't here in the spring, and Dillingham had pretty much said that it was Leavitt's job, you know, at the end of spring, that he kind of maybe had the edge there, but Sims has kind of come on. So basically it's a quarterback battle between those two, and today, neither one of them was particularly sharp, so I don't think either one of them has separated themselves from the other. So I think it'll probably go down to the final week. I think he'll have to make a decision when you're a week out from your opener, but I don't see that decision coming anytime soon. And the thing with Jeff Sims is you look at the guy, and he looks the part of a quarterback. He's a solid 6'3", has a great arm, great mobility, and mobility is something that they lacked at quarterback last year. But Dillingham has said several times that with Jeff Sims, you get 85% of the time he makes freakish plays, and you're going, holy cow. And then the other 15% of the time he'll make a catastrophic play that can cost you the game. So he said, you know, with him, it's how do you cut those plays out that can be catastrophic? So I think we're going to see this battle go another 2 weeks.
Michelle Gardner, our guest from the Arizona Republic. We are looking at the Arizona State Sun Devils, Big 12 football preview. You mentioned it, the quarterback battle maybe taking a turn that you didn't expect. With the transfer portal now, it's very tough to know exactly what we're looking at as journalists from year to year because you can't really gauge it against what happened last year. It's so dependent upon who comes in via the transfer portal. And I know that Arizona State's pretty excited about some of their guys, especially defensively.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I think, you know, Kenny said that it is not what you want to have this much turnover year to year, and they have had it the last 2 years. But you get that when you have a coaching change, and you get that when you're coming off the sanctions and the investigation and just where the program was at. So he doesn't think, he hopes and doesn't think that it's going to be the case they're going to have this much turnover year to year. The school's NIL program has gotten better. They were lagging behind most teams. It was bad. Their former athletic director didn't necessarily embrace that part of it. And so they were kind of behind the curve when it came to that. So they're trying to play catch up there, and they lost a lot of very good players because of that. So I don't think we're going to have the transfer portal action for ASU in the next year like you had the last 2 years, and I guess you hope not. They do have some very good younger players that have come into the program, and they've got a pretty good recruiting class for next year. So I don't think they want to rely on that as much as they've had to, but it's just where the program was at that time.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about NIL because, you know, obviously every player, every student has their own priorities, but Arizona State is such a destination for college students in general that it seems like that'd be a real way that they could maybe make up some of the ground that they don't have already in the Big 12 and in the Power 5 world. Is that something that they're focused on, just get these kids to a place where they're comfortable and, hey, we can build a team that way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we've kind of, not to change the subject, but we've kind of seen that in basketball a little bit. They've got the number two recruiting class in the country. And when you've got Bobby Hurley for your head coach, Bobby Hurley needs to press being Bobby Hurley, and he needs to leverage being Bobby Hurley. If he was to his detriment, he didn't do that right away. And he has done that in the last year, and that's why they are where they are in basketball. So I think that they're going to have to keep doing that and keep making strides in football. I don't think that they're ever going to be the top of echelon of the Big 12. I know how passionate and those fan bases are and the donors are there. So I don't know that they can ever be in the upper echelon of the conference when it comes to that. But they could certainly be in the game. And then the other thing with the NIL, the problem with that was that under the old athletic director, Ray Anderson, people were so upset about Ray Anderson because it was he that hired Herm Edwards, and obviously the train went off the track badly there. So it was Anderson that brought in Herm, and then everything went haywire. So a lot of the alumni, the fan base was just really upset with Anderson, and there were donors that refused to donate. There were people that didn't want to give to the collective because they thought that was endorsing the athletic director, whom they hated. And he finally stepped aside in November. So I would say in the last year and a half to 2 years, I mean, everybody wanted Anderson. They wanted him gone for 3-4 years, and he refused to step aside. So I think that that was a very big problem because the fan base says if we donate to the collective, we're endorsing the administration, and they don't like Michael Crow either. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there where you kind of can't grow your NIL program when you've got an athletic director that's a polarizing figure. So that's been a huge problem in the last 2 years that they are just now trying to get past.
Well, you've hit it out of the park. We appreciate all your insight into Arizona State football and athletics. Who would have thought, Michelle, that you'd be doing an interview with a bunch of guys from Wichita talking about Arizona State and the Big 12, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing, you know, and we'll see how it pans out, but I can say this. The one thing that we got spoiled with in the Pac-12, it was a pretty easy travel conference. I mean, you could get to LA in an hour. You can get to the Bay Area when you're covering Stanford or Cal. You know, Utah is an easy trip. You know, for the other teams coming down here, you got a great airport in Phoenix where you can get to ASU and Arizona. So basically, with Pullman and Washington State notwithstanding, the travel in the Pac-12 was pretty easy. And I know it's not that easy in the Big 12 because I've already tried to book some trips. So I'm kind of
how have you mapped out your Morgantown trip?
Yeah, that's a good one.
We don't have that one. Okay, so we don't have that one yet. Okay, I know what you mean. I've booked my Lubbock trip to Texas Tech, and I've booked my Oklahoma State trip. But again, you're talking flying into places where you fly in somewhere and then have to drive an hour, hour and a half. So I'm looking at my Sunday. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to say, wait till you see.
Your Friday and your Sunday are now an all-day travel day instead of being able to be home in an hour. So that's the bad part of the Big 12. But I am looking forward to seeing the fan bases and seeing new campuses and people that are passionate about college football.
Well, I'm going to try this. It's a little late. But wait till you see the scenery in Ames. You'll love it. Michelle, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Okay.
We appreciate your time. Thanks. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Anytime.
All right. Michelle Gardner from the Arizona Republic. We talk Arizona State football. Kind of stepped on each other. My tremendous line got a little bit drowned out.
Yeah, but, that's too bad.
But those things happen, and when you're in the world of comedy like I am, you learn to deal with it.
Anytime we have a guest, we want to make sure you get your lines in.
Yes. I mean, heaven forbid, right?
You guys just don't get it.
No. Oh, we get it. Oh, we get it.
Go ahead.
Everything good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, good.
It's right out of the I screwed up playbook, and you just got to live with it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem letting people know when I screw up. It doesn't bother me.
Did you ever score a goal in the opponent's net?
Yeah, all the time. Like 330 times. Did I ever score a goal in the opponent's net?
No, in your net.
I did it like over 300 times.
Did you ever score a goal in your net?
No.
Never, ever? Not even in junior?
Oh, that's defense, man. I don't do defense.
But you've seen it happen.
Yes.
But you never did it because...
I never did it. I can't say that I did it.
Well, there you go.
Have I seen it happen? Has it happened to guys on teams I've played with before? Yes.
Well, we've seen it happen in basketball where a tip in, you know, by a defensive player.
Yeah, it'd usually be like off a skate or something, right?
The one, a guy tried ripe one to fire it around the boards and ripped it right by our own goalie.
Well, that's one of those moments you just have to own it.
You like to name that person?
You have a little giggle. I don't remember who it was. It was a defenseman.
But you mess up, you got to own it. And instead of trying to turn attention elsewhere.
But really, does Misty usually lay like that?
She's comfortable.
Okay.
Don't you lay weird sometimes if it's comfortable?
Very rarely, I would say, but maybe occasionally.
I'm glad Misty spent the time down here with us. She was excited. She's excited to see you, obviously, every day. But she's really excited to see Jason. And I like that. I think that's good for her.
And she's been just good dog today. She just chilled all day.
We like it when people come to visit because she likes it.
Exactly.
If we didn't have her, I'd board up the house.
Yeah, well, I could see that.
Makes sense.
Definitely wouldn't be having this show done down here.
No, not at all.
No.
But with her, she gets enjoyment out of it.
And that's all that matters.
And that's really all that matters to me. So now, based on our earlier discussion about food and restaurants and ordering and cooking at home, I'm trying to figure out where to go tonight.
Do you not go to Leakers anymore? I mean, you were on a stretch there.
Yeah, ridiculous. Leakers is good.
There you go. Bet you they might have
meatloaf
tonight.
They got the chili burritos and the Salisbury steak tonight.
Oh, Salisbury steak's good.
I'm trying to get a Salisbury steak going to my house.
Why don't you?
My wife won't make it.
Why don't you make it?
That's a decent idea, but I don't think I'd be good at it.
You got to do what you got to do.
I may head
out to Leakers.
I know. This is why I'm here. It's a food thing. I got you.
What are you going to do? You're probably going to cook.
I am cooking tonight.
What are you making?
Just spaghetti.
Ooh.
Homemade meat sauce.
Homemade meat sauce.
Yeah.
Aren't you special?
I'm so special.
Is it homemade or do you start with something in a can?
No, you get the tomatoes and you crush the tomatoes up and you make your own meat sauce.
And what do you put in them after the tomatoes are crushed up?
Well, you do a little salt and pepper and then depending on...
I got a robot that can do all this.
Well, you asked. Why don't you do it then? It's easy.
He has a robot. He doesn't need.
Why wouldn't I just buy?
Oh God, he had it. I apologize.
Why
Jeff,
wouldn't I
correct.
Just buy the sauce instead of? Well, I crushed up some tomatoes
homemade,
and I put some salt.
Because homemade
and
tastes different.
No, it doesn't.
Oh,
you're just crushing up some tomatoes.
Well, you just think that it's the exact same as what you bought. What you buy
that's
in a store.
That's why I asked what you put
sitting in
it.
A can on a shelf that could have been there for 6 months.
Salt and pepper and crushed tomatoes doesn't sound appealing.
Well, I didn't finish, but you just
cut
me right off. So
go ahead.
No, I'm done. Forget it.
Can I hear, though?
No.
Really? You're punishing me for his
punishing everybody.
Misdeed?
Really?
Everybody listening who's like, oh, geez, how does he make that? Oh, this might be good. No, maybe tomorrow.
Well, will you put the recipe on tomorrow. Facebook for us?
I'm not on Facebook.
I know, that was the
if
joke.
Salt and pepper was your...
I get it now.
Thank you.
If salt and pepper was your second thing you mentioned, I got to believe that you thought that was prominent.
You always got salt and pepper. You can eat everything with salt and pepper, and it should be just fine.
Fine, but what you've described, and you say there's more, I'm not sure I believe you. What you've described so far...
He's got a point. You did pretty much...
Slice up tomatoes, crush them, and salt and pepper them, and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's it. Then you got to warm them up.
Do you put meat in it?
Well, yes.
What kind of meat?
Just hamburger.
Sauce. All right.
And then you can add some onions. We like onions. Depends what they're feeling like. Green peppers. Love to do.
Well, I wouldn't want a green pepper in a spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, you cut them big because of the flavor. So you have no idea. You got to quit eating out of a can when you cook.
I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. Green peppers.
Yeah, I'm not feeling
spaghetti
that.
Spaghetti sauce.
Mm, that's okay.
I mean, it's all good. You know, your family must like it.
Well, the wife and I are the only ones that eat it. Jackson likes just a plain sauce. Avery likes butter and parm. It's a whole production I go through.
Well, there you go. And you do it.
She goes butter and Parmesan cheese, and that's...
She likes butter and parm, yeah.
Really?
Or spaghetti.
Yep.
Is that good? Have you ever tried that?
It's actually not bad, yeah.
I don't have to think about that.
It's actually, yeah, you just noodles, put some butter in there.
No meat in there?
Put parm, mix it together, and it's just like a butter noodle with some Parmesan on it.
You know what?
It's really good.
You know what I'm thinking, maybe?
It's honestly not bad.
Butter noodles?
No, I'm thinking Felipe's. Felipe's.
He does have money. He just goes out every night.
He just goes wherever he wants.
Where am I going to go?
I can't believe he
pick a plow, throw a dart at a map of Wichita.
Can't believe he just doesn't get it all delivered.
Well,
with as much money as he has.
That's true.
I like going out and seeing the people.
Oh.
Yeah. At the front door.
He likes to go see the people.
Why'd you say it like that? Did I talk like that?
Kinda.
I'll slap your...
I can't wait.
There's nothing wrong with going to get something to eat.
No, there isn't.
And I'm going to tell you right now, that taco talk got me going a little bit. I like their tacos at Felipe's.
Well, go get some.
Is it the powdered parm that she goes with or the shredded cheese?
All right.
We do both.
Okay.
But we've the shredded parm most of the time.
We're at the end.
Well, we weren't done talking.
We are at the end.
And
we'll be back
go.
Tomorrow. Another three-man booth. We'll be out in the East Studio with Max tomorrow, much against my will. I'll be there.
I didn't know that. Like I got, there's a gold medal match with Canada in it tomorrow at 3:30.
We'll try to get it on for
you. You better be.
See you tomorrow, everyone. Thank you.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.